This mini lecture continues the review of fundamentals of communication begun in part one in the previous mini lecture. In the previous mini lecture, we noted that most models of communication assume two or more people involved in communication. However, those people can only be involved in a process of communication insofar as the individuals involved are also engaged in certain processes. We talked about two such processes: decoding and encoding. With regard to decoding, we noted that it is a process which could be understood in several different ways. For example, as a process by which the individual interprets sensations in the environment as signs which stand for something else. We talked about it also as a process by which we make sense of sensation. Or another way of saying that is of making meaning, of taking what was meaningless in its own right and making it meaningful by the mental processes that we call decoding. Decoding is a subjective process. For example, whether we see an ambiguous image as a younger woman or an older woman, neither or both, as faces or vases, neither or both, as a bunny or a duck, neither or both, is an entirely individual process that cannot be objectively said to be one thing or another, but instead depends entirely on the decoding processes of an individual. We also learned that there was both a large amount, a large quantity, an exceptionally high quality of research available demonstrating the point that decoding is highly biased. That is, we have a very strong tendency to perceive what we expect to perceive or what we want to perceive, and also a very high propensity not to perceive what we don't expect to perceive or don't want to perceive. Now we take up the second mental process, which is encoding. We have been talking about decoding. Encoding is now the process we want to talk about, and we can think of it as the same sort of process in reverse. That is, if decoding is a sense of taking something from the environment and pulling it into ourselves in a way which makes it more and more subjective and individual and personal, the process of encoding is an attempt to do the opposite, to take an idea in our brain which is originally personal and try to make it in some sense public, to share its meaning. And so it can be thought of as a process of trying to make an idea that we have sensible by turning it into something that is a sensation. Another way of saying that is that when we encode, we try to select signs that we hope will be interpreted by someone as standing for something else. That's our intention, to offer this sign, a gesture, a noise which comes out of our mouth, a facial expression that we make, words that we write on the page, we hope will be signs that stand for something else to another party. That is the process of encoding. And we can note that the process two of encoding is also somewhat selective, constrained by a number of factors, including what we're aware of, what we expect the audience to be aware of, and what kind of strategic constraints are being placed on our communication. Encoding then is a part of the process by which we make available for public consumption our private thoughts. To continue our illustration, our metaphor, or I guess a better word would be our example from the last segment, we can talk about this in acoustic terms. So in the process of encoding, we can think about a person having an idea, wanting to put it in a form that can be understood by other, which will be interpreted as a sign, as standing for something else to another. It will be meaningful to another, we hope. And so we speak words. And so out of our mouth comes a gust of air, our lips formed a particular way, our vocal cords operating at a particular frequency so as to make a noise which can be transmitted out of our mouth into the airwaves, where it will hopefully be picked up by another who will experience that sensation and decode it.